And welcome to the Olmsted Baptist Church radio broadcast, preaching Jesus Christ, crucified and risen from the dead, for the forgiveness and salvation of sinners, and returning to the earth soon to rule and reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And now, here is Pastor Jim Duke with today's message.
I'm thankful you tuned in the broadcast again this time, and we're picking up our study here in Luke chapter 11, verse number 14. And he, that is Jesus, was casting out a devil, and it was dumb. And it came to pass, when the devil was gone out, the dumb spake, and the people wondered. And so this devil that was, this man was possessed with, this person was possessed with, was one that kept them from speaking. He was dumb in that sense, and not that he was stupid, the intelligence was low, but this devil prevented this one from speaking. And so then when the demon was cast out, they were able to speak again. But some of them said, verse 15, he casteth out devils through Beelzebub, the chief of devils. And others tempting him sought of him a sign from heaven. And so here, the latest idea of the religious elite is that Jesus is doing the miracles, and even to the extent of casting out demons prolifically. I mean, he's doing it without compare, and none can resist him. And even great statements are made about the Lord Jesus Christ of the demons through those that they possess. They're saying, oh, he's casting them out by the power of Satan. That's how he's doing it. We've got him figured out now. He's casting them out by the power of Satan. And so there's others here. There's this blasphemy that's declared. And then there's others that are saying, show us a sign. If you're really the Savior, if you're really the Messiah, if you're really a man of God, show us a sign. Do a miracle. Show us a sign. You know, you find it interesting that John the Baptist didn't do any miracles. The Lord Jesus and the apostles, they did miracles by the power of the Lord, and the Lord himself, I mean, being God, he did miracles. But John the Baptist didn't do any miracles. He came to preach. He came to run before the Lord Jesus Christ and to preach. And so they're urging him and they're blaspheming against him. Verse 17, but he knowing their thoughts, he knows everyone's thoughts. He knows your thoughts even now, knows my thoughts. And I pray that you would understand that you need to yield before the Lord. There's no hiding from God. There's no hiding from our Lord, even in your heart. Don't seek to do so. He, knowing their thoughts, said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and a house divided against a house falleth. He said, fellas, you need to be reminded of just a very fundamental point in the world. You take a kingdom and you cause it to fight against itself, it will be destroyed. And the thing is this thinking here of division is what happens, what certainly can happen is once the division begins, the division will continue. And so you may take a great whole and divide it into half or one quarter against the rest. And then the three quarters can divide, and then the quarters from that will divide. And the Lord says it'll be brought to desolation. It'll be brought to an end. A house is the same way. You let a house be divided, kin be divided, and the thing will just break down and break down and break down into desolation. He says, verse 18, if Satan also be divided against himself, how shall his kingdom stand? Because ye say that I cast out devils through Beelzebub. He says, and he makes it clear, the demons that I am casting out are indeed those that follow after Satan. And if Satan is divided against himself, his kingdom cannot stand. No army sacrifices their own and goes against them as the enemy for the sake to win a battle with the enemy. It's untoward. It's madness. It's crazy to think that that would work that way. And it's known that it doesn't work that way. He says, say if Satan is divided against himself, verse 18, how shall his kingdom stand? It won't, because you say that I cast out devils through Beelzebub. So he goes ahead and brings it to what they've declared. Let's talk about Satan. Let's talk about his kingdom. Let's talk about those that he has that are his and that follow him. His kingdom can't stand if they fight against each other. If I am here casting out demons out of men whom he occupies and has a stronghold, a binding of, how does that work? How does that work? And if I, verse 19, by Beelzebub, cast out devils, by whom do your sons cast them out? Jesus says, as many as I cast out, without fail, even the ones most difficult, even those that are multiple demons within men, if I cast them out by the power of Beelzebub, what does that say about your sons and the very few that they cast out? He's challenging them indeed with truthful logic about the situation. What about your boys? How do they do it then? If what I'm doing is by the power of Beelzebub, indeed the greater, if as he's accused of doing so by the power of Satan, the lesser, would that not be the same? Therefore, they shall be your judges in the latter part of verse number 19. He said, they, I mean, you claim that it's by the power of God that they do so. And then me casting out more than all of them put together, you say is the power of Satan. He says, but if I, verse 20, with the finger of God cast out devils, no doubt the kingdom of God has come unto you, come upon you, the kingdom of God. Kingdom of God has been forever. The kingdom of God has been expanded, if you will, by virtue of his creation of the earth and mankind and that. The angels. God is everlasting. And his dominion is an everlasting dominion, Brother Nebuchadnezzar says. His kingdom is the kingdom. There are many kingdoms and nations and tribes within, but there's not one aspect that's not under the Lord's control. Not even hell and the lake of fire. Those are under the control of the Lord. There's a thinking that prevails amongst men that Satan is the governor of hell and the lake of fire. No, the lake of fire was created for the devil and his angels. That was the first intent of the lake of fire, was for the devil and his angels. The lake of fire and hell are the place or places of God's righteous indignation and wrath upon sinners and sin. There's nothing that's not under the kingdom of our Lord. Nothing. And our Lord says here, with the finger of God, if I with the finger of God cast out devils, he said, this is no effort. This is little effort. The finger of God cast out devils. No doubt the kingdom of God has come upon you. He says, the kingdom of God has come here. And if you will, revealed itself and opened up itself right here to you that you may see it. You see it, but you don't know what it is. He says, I'm telling you, it's the kingdom of God. It's the power of God. Right now, the saved, if they know something from the Lord's Bible, the scriptures, they understand that the kingdom of God is there and it is eternal and that we are indeed citizens of it. But you know what? The lost and dying world doesn't know about the kingdom of God. They just don't know. They don't see it. They think that the kingdom in which they find themselves or the kingdoms that they create upon the earth are the kingdoms that exist. But the children of God know that they're citizens of heaven and citizens of this great kingdom of our Lord. and that we understand that it is there, and I'm thankful to be a U.S. citizen, and I'm praise the Lord for being born in this country. But in the end, my citizenship is not here in the United States of America, but my citizenship is in the kingdom of God Almighty. And I desire for Him to rule and reign indeed. He says, the kingdom of God has come upon you. God the Son, having come down and become a man, and then walking amongst men, Emmanuel, God with us, God with us, he says, the kingdom of God has never been any closer. He doesn't say, come unto you, as it does in other places. He says, it's come upon you. You've been immersed by the power of the kingdom of God. You've been shown that Satan and his minions are subject to the king. You have seen that sickness and illness and disease and all things concerning men, even the salvation of their souls and the forgiveness of their sins, is subject to the king of the kingdom. It's come upon you. You've got it right here in your face and in your lap. And you blaspheme against the Holy One. The Lord tells us plainly here in verse number 21, when a strong man armed keepeth his palace, his goods are in peace. We see that. A man that has ability and strength, he keeps his place and the stuff that's in it. Verse 22, and when a stronger than he shall come upon him and overcome him, he taketh from him all his armor wherein he trusted and divideth his spoils. So the Lord gives an example. An armed man, well-equipped, fortified castle, if you will. He's got his place, his palace, he's got his stuff, and he's doing fine. Anybody weaker comes along, he whips them, and there's no challenge. There's no challenge, or if they do challenge him, he dominates. But then this strong one comes, the strong man, if you will, he comes. And you know what he does? He whips up on that man. He takes his palace. He takes his goods. He even takes the armor that he used to fight and defend himself with. And you know what? He takes all that he has and divides it. Jesus is the strong man. Our Lord Jesus Christ indeed is the strong man. And for those that believe that they don't believe in the eternal security of the believer. That's the way that we define this doctrine, this teaching of the scriptures. They believe that someone can be saved and then lose their salvation and be saved again and lose their salvation. Listen, the salvation that Jesus saved sinners with is eternal and everlasting because he is the strong man. He is the strong man. And may the Lord help us to believe and receive that. Verse 23, he that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth. There's no straddling the fence with Jesus. There's no straddling the fence with his word. You're either for him or you're against him. Our prayer is that you would be for him by hearing and believing him and his word, repenting of your sins, and trusting in the good gospel, the blessed gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, his death, burial, and resurrection for the salvation of your soul, for the forgiveness of your sins. I see that our time has passed for now. May our Lord bless you with the good word and truth of his gospel. Farewell until next time.
Thank you for tuning in and listening to our broadcast. We wish to invite you, your family, and friends to our services on Sundays at 10 a.m., 11 a.m., and 2 p.m., and Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. Olmsted Baptist Church is located in southwest Logan County, Kentucky, just 2.5 miles off of U.S. Highway 79. Between Russellville and Guthrie, turn on to State Route 775, also known as Olmsted Road. Drive 2.5 miles and you'll find our church house on the right, just beside Whipple Reel Creek. We are interested in any questions or comments you might have about our broadcast. Feel free to contact us by telephone at 270-726-3954, by email at obchurch@gmail.com,
or on the web at www.almstedbaptistchurch.org. Tune in next time for another edition of the Almsted Baptist Church radio broadcast.